Good to see everybody this morning. Everybody excited? Hallelujah. It's a good day, amen. It's a great day. This is the day the Lord's made, and we're going to rejoice. We're going to be glad in it. We're going to give God all the glory and all the praise. He's worthy of it, amen. Hallelujah. I'm excited. I hope you're excited. Glory to God. You know, Paul said to Timothy, stir yourself up.
Yes.
Sometimes you just have to stir yourself up. Hallelujah.
Encourage.
If you want what God has for you, you're going to have to stir yourself up. You're going to have to be like David and say, soul, you're going to bless the Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah, you can clap. Give God a hand. Hallelujah. He's good. Amen. Well, today we're going to be in the book of John, chapter 12. Now, I could have gone in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, right?
Yeah.
But I'm going to be in John. John, chapter 12. And we are going to start, well, I'm just going to do a couple verses out of John, chapter 12. And we're going to start in verse 12. When you're there, would you stand with me? On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh sitting on a donkey's colt. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord God. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, that God, as we look back in history, Lord God, God, as we look back in this final week, Lord God, of the life of Jesus here on this earth, Father, God, we ask you to open our hearts, open our minds, God. God, even take us back to that time, Lord God. God, may we just get to that place, Lord God, when we can just be part of the ceremony as Jesus came into Jerusalem, Father. God, may we just hear the people, Lord God. May we hear the people just shouting, Lord God. God, even the smells, Lord God. Everything, Lord God, of the time, Father. God, may we experience it again, Lord God. God, may we really, really connect with this time in history, Father. And God, we thank you and we praise you, God. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Have your way, and we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. So Jesus rode in on a donkey, and the people spread their garments on the road. They waved palm branches. They was excited. The king was coming to town. Amen?
Amen.
But they didn't understand that he was not only to be the king in the natural, but king in the spirit. He was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen? Hallelujah. And they failed to recognize that. But, you know, it was a celebration, but it was more than a celebration. There was more. If you ever study this, if you go back and study this, there is just so much in this. But there was more than a celebration, there was a proclamation. The people were proclaiming. The waving, it went back to Old Testament times. Remember the wave offering? It was called a peace offering. And so, as they were waving the palm branches, they were actually, it was a peace offering, a wave offering. It began, the wave offering began with Moses and the Israelites as a peace offering before God. Blood was sprinkled upon the sides of the altar. Offerings were waved before God, consumed by the priest as a symbol of God's acceptance. and celebrated the covering of sin, forgiveness by God, and the restoration of a right relationship with God. Amen. Hallelujah. From whom life itself comes, and therefore a celebration of new life that in that restored relationship. That's Jesus Christ. The new life, restored relationship. Amen. So here's the Jews, and you know, you might say, well, that's a coincidence, but it really wasn't. You know, the Jews was given the wave offering, the celebration of new life, and Jesus was offering new life. Revelation 7, 9. I saw when, behold, a great crowd standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands. Revelation. Palms in their hands. So, today we celebrate Palm Sunday or Passion Sunday. We celebrate the triumphal, it's known as the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Amen. And it's about 1 week before his resurrection. A lot took place in that last week. We don't have time. I was going to walk you through the steps of all the things that happened. But back at that time, there was two calendars in place. There was the creation calendar, and there was a Babylonian calendar. And they differed. As a matter of fact, one calendar was about 2 days different than the other calendar. But if you go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will see that all the events were in there. Some was pulling from one calendar and some was pulling from another calendar, but they were all in order. But the little, you could be confused if you didn't understand the calendars and walk through. And so I'm just not going to do that just because of that. But go in there and study it. Study the order of things that happened in this last week of Jesus' life on earth as we knew it. Hallelujah. But we know he's still alive. Amen. Hallelujah. So here we see Jesus entering the holy city, and he's nearing the completion of the long journey to Golgotha. He had come to seek and save the lost. But now was the time. This was the place to secure that salvation, to seek and to save the lost. How many can say, thank you, Jesus? How many was part of the lost? Yeah, we were all part of the lost. He didn't give up on us. He didn't chalk us off. He didn't mark us off. He didn't cast us away. Hallelujah. He kept pursuing us on and on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So Palm Sunday marks the beginning of what we would call Passion Week or Holy Week. Palm Sunday was, you might say, the beginning of the end of Jesus' work on earth. Palm Sunday. If somebody told you that you had 1 week to live, what would you do? What would your plans be if you had 1 week? Would they be the same as last week? Would you keep the things you had planned for this week, or would you change them? Would there be priorities? Would your priorities change if this was your last week? The title of the message, you know, Jesus knew what was coming. He knew exactly. He had told the disciples. It had been prophesied throughout the Old Testament what was going to happen. Jesus knew it. It's like, how could he do it? How could he do it? The title of the message is just call it love. Just call it love. So we call this Passion Week, Passion Sunday, Passion Week. So what is passion? Passion is a strong feeling of enthusiasm or excitement for something or about doing something, or any powerful or compelling emotion or feeling as love or hate. Passion. Even though Jesus knew what was coming, he knew the cross was coming, he knew all the weight of sin was going to be on him, all the weight of the whole world was going to be hanging on him as he hung on the cross. And did you ever think of it this way? Palm Sunday, when they was waving the palms, not many days hence it would be Jesus' palms. But they were driving the nails through. And he done it willingly. So think of that as Palm Sunday. This week, as we think about this Passion Week, Holy Week, as you study it, as you meditate on it, as you pray, you know, just let God take you to that place where you experience the agony of Jesus. Up until this time, right before this time, Jesus had sort of withdrew from the public. And he had taken the disciples and he was teaching them. He told them how many times, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die on the cross. But I'm going to be raised again the third day. But now comes Passion Sunday. Now's the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The first thing he done after that, as you study, you will see that he went in and cleansed the temple. And then he become very public. If you look at all the things that happened in this last week, all the events that happened, it was very public. As you see as you study the prophecies about Jesus, about the suffering, the dying, the resurrection, he was the sacrificial lamb. Every sacrifice in the Old Testament pointed to Jesus. And we know from studying the Bible how perfect the sacrificial lamb had to be. Couldn't have any flaws. Had to be perfect. and that was the Passover lamb. Do we know about the Passover? Right? And so here the lamb had to be chosen. The one that was bringing the lamb had to choose this lamb. Perfect, no flaws, no sickness, had to be perfect. The lamb was chosen about 5 days before the sacrifice. And for these 5 days, the lamb was basically on display for everybody to see that it was perfect. And you know that the priest had to pronounce it without flaw. Remember what Pilate said after he had tried him? He said, "I find no fault." All part, all falling in line, all the prophecies. You see, this week, there was the passion, but there was also Jesus had joy because he knew what was beyond the suffering, beyond the shame, beyond the guilt, beyond the sin, beyond the sickness, beyond the disease. He knew there was resurrection life. Amen. Hallelujah. So there was joy. Even in the midst of all this, there was this joy that was beyond comprehension. See, the Jews didn't understand what Christ had to offer. They was expecting a deliverer, right? But they remembered that back in Egypt, they had been there. Israelites had been in Egypt 400 years. And God sent a deliverer in the flesh. Right? All through the book of Judges. Remember the cycles? People would get off into idolatry, off into sin. They would leave God. Things would go bad for them. And they would cry out to God, and God would send a deliverer. And the deliverer would deliver them until he died. There was no successor, and it would go through the cycle again. But it was always that God would send a deliverer, somebody, you know, in the natural to deliver them from their problems. So, you know, in a way we could say, well, maybe the people thought that's what he was going to do again. Because they was expecting a king. But we know that God had more better plans than that, amen? And see, when they was waving the palm branches, and they was just, Hosanna, Hosanna. It was going back to Psalm 118, 26. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's what they were saying, right? They was going back to Psalms. And they were saying, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. You know, so here's the people. They're gathered together. It's Passover coming, right? And they knew how to get together. They knew how to celebrate. They knew how to do the feasts. And so here's a crowd of people. And they're in Jerusalem, you know. They're preparing for Passover. And so all the people were there, so the crowd formed pretty quick. And so here they are, throwing their coats down, laying their coats down. And here's the religious leaders. Jesus is getting all the attention, right? And they like the attention. Plus, the religious leaders, the scribes and Pharisees, they were afraid of the Romans. And they said to Jesus, can't you keep your disciples a little bit quiet here? Paraphrasing. And what Jesus said? What did Jesus say? He said, if they're quiet, even these stones, it was like he was pointing to the cobblestones on the road that they was traveling on. He said, if they hold their peace, even these stones will cry out. Now that's a put down for them, isn't it? If they're silent, even these stones will cry out. Wonder what he's saying to the church today. Come on! When we praise him, do we really give him praise? Do we really give him glory? Do we really shout Hosanna? Listen for the stones. Hallelujah. So here, as they was throwing down their claws, as they was waving the palms, it was like a sign of submission or homage to the king. See, they recognized Jesus as the Messiah from Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. See, he didn't come riding on a horse. That's the way a king would come. Riding on a horse meant victory or battle. Riding on a donkey. See, there's symbolisms in all of this. He came in on a donkey. Riding on a donkey symbolized coming in peace. So as Jesus is riding into Jerusalem on this donkey, he comes as peace, not war, but peace. And it's what Bible scholars refer to as a prophetic sign. It's a symbolic act which is meant to both symbolize and set in motion some major event in the history of salvation. See, this set things in motion as he rode in on the donkey. 400 or 500 years back in Zechariah, it was prophesied this would happen. And so, here's Jesus. By doing this, he's fulfilling the prophecy way back there. See, Jesus knew every prophecy. Wonder why. Absolutely. He knew every prophecy, and so he fulfilled every prophecy for his life here on earth. But as we look at this in a little more depth, there's more here than simply this implicitly messianic public act. When we look at it close, we discover several other important features of this particular messianic king. I'm going to read Zechariah 9, 10, and 11. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble, riding on a donkey, on the colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your captives free from the waterless pit. Way back. This is what he said. It's going to happen. So as we look at these things, we're going to see about three things. One, he's the king of peace and not of war. Isn't that what it said? He's the king of peace and not of war. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Number two, we're going to see that he's the king of the whole world. Not just that nation, but king of the whole world. And number three, we'll see he will set his people free from the pit, or the realm of the dead, through the blood of the covenant. How many people are thankful for the covenant? Hallelujah. How many are in the covenant? Glory to God. God's a covenant-keeping God. What he said, he'll do. Number one, the king who rides a colt will be the king of peace. He's going to ride into Jerusalem, but he's not just going to be any king. He's going to be the king of peace. He won't be coming to wage earthly warfare, but to make the horse and the war chariot cease from Jerusalem. Number two, the king who rides the colt will be the king of the world. So we see that he will be a universal king, king of the whole world. His dominion, his reign won't just be over the people of Israel, but to the ends of the whole earth, he will be the king. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he wants to be the king of everybody's life in this world. Amen? Hallelujah. And as we look at this, we see that he come humbly on a donkey. And I find that God isn't pushy. He's always there. Jesus doesn't push himself on anybody. But he's always there saying, come. Come. Whosoever will, come. All who are thirsty, all who are weak, come. He's always saying, come. The King of Peace. How many have ever been in a time in your life when there was anything but peace? And God was there all the time, just saying, come. I want to give you peace. Number three. The king who rides a colt, the blood covenant, and the release from the pit. So the king that comes riding this donkey, this colt of a donkey, will deliver his people not through the shedding of blood in battle, but through the mysterious blood of the covenant. How many have ever studied the blood? Have you ever gone into the Word of God and studied the blood? Oh, you need to study the blood. Study the blood. The Bible tells us that the life is in the blood. Study the blood. And this blood of the covenant is going to somehow set captives free from the realm of the dead known as the pit in the Old Testament. How many was heading for the pit? How many was on a slippery slope? Maybe right on the edge and not knowing it. Yeah, me too. Yeah. But for the blood covenant. For the blood covenant. Then we see the palms waving. And it was a celebration. But all for that blood covenant. All for what was going to happen in a couple days. But this king came riding in on this donkey, would suffer, be humiliated, be spit on, be scourged, would be unfairly tried, be condemned, would go to that cross of Calvary, would hang on that cross, naked and despised, and die for me. What a difference a few days make from all the celebration to reality, to everything leading up, just like the prophecy said, here's what's going to happen. And Jesus had told the disciples, here's what's going to happen. And they couldn't understand it. So Palm Sunday ultimately points ahead to this Passion Week, to what was going to be the end of Passion Week. In the upper room, the Last Supper. There's so much that points back to the prophecy. Here's Jesus. He's in the upper room. And he sits down at the table with the disciples. And he took the bread. Picture this. In this last week, he had told them like four times, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die on that cross. And I'm going to be resurrected. And it was like, do you guys really get it? Do you understand what I'm saying? And so he demonstrated. So many times he would teach and then he would demonstrate. And so here they are at the table. and he took a loaf of bread. And he just ripped it in half. And here's all these jagged pieces sticking out of the bread. And he said, this is my body. This represents my body. It's broken for you. And he took the cup. And he said, this is, or this represents, my blood. This represents that I'm going to die for you. He said, as oft as you drink this bread, or eat this bread, and drink this cup,
remember.
Remember. And it was like they still didn't understand. Even though it was looking back, it was so clear. But they didn't understand. See, when he entered Jerusalem, he was not only signifying that he was the king, but as to what kind of king he would be. By the blood of the covenant, not by blood of warfare, but by the blood of the covenant. And when he presented the blood, the cup, to the disciples, it was like he was pointing to the cross. This is my blood. It's going to be poured out on the cross at Calvary. So here's Jesus, the King, come to Jerusalem, and he's going to the altar, but not to sacrifice blood, not to sacrifice lambs or goats, but he was the sacrifice. He was the sacrifice. Is it any wonder that he wanted the temple clean? Isaiah 62:11. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say you to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. So here's his prophecy. And it's fulfilled in every detail. Indeed, there was a time of rejoicing as Jerusalem welcomed their king. Unfortunately, the celebration wasn't going to last. The crowds looked for a Messiah, a king that would rescue them from the Roman oppression. But Jesus came to rescue them spiritually. And they didn't understand it. Not a whole lot different from today. See, when tragedy strikes, in whatever form, it could be earthquakes, it could be floods, it could be tsunamis, whatever form, you know, people are, this generation, today, one of God, come on, that'll rescue us from whatever the problem is. quick to cry out. As I think about that, I think, you know, I'm that way a lot. When the hell is on, come on, we're quick to cry out to God. We need a Savior. We want the King of Peace to come into our situation, our problem. How many remember 9/11? 9/11, a couple days, or almost immediately after that, people was crying out to God. Remember? Churches was full, right? For how long? 1 week? 2 weeks? Then where's the people? See, they really wasn't looking for a Savior. It was just looking for some relief. That's what the people on Palm Sunday was looking for. Just some relief, not a Savior. And just like people that pray, well, even say in the election. Come on. People's out there praying, right?
Yep.
God, we want a godly man. We want somebody that'll stand up. We want somebody to take us back to our roots. Come on. And if it happens, people stop. That's not the time to stop. That's the time to be on your knees just crying out to God. And we need to be on our knees crying out to God every day. Amen? Hallelujah. So even as the people rejected Jesus as the Savior of their soul, as well as the giver of abundant life, how many is thankful for a Savior? How many is thankful for abundant life? Hallelujah. Well, Jesus is the only one that can save us from the torments of hell, desires to take us to heaven, to live with Him forever. How many know forever is a long time?
Yep.
How many don't like the options? Turn or burn. Right? Hallelujah. God wants us to turn to Him. Hallelujah. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, and He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you so much. So I have a couple of questions. Do you know this Jesus?
Yes.
That wants to be your King? Have you made Him King of your life? See, a lot of people know they need a Savior. Everybody needs a Savior. But is He Lord of all? If He's not Lord of all, is He really Lord at all? So you made Jesus Christ your King, your Lord. See, the same Jesus that rode into Jerusalem on that donkey 2,000 years ago, Palm Sunday, the same Jesus. Only one Jesus. He's the same Jesus. He's waiting. Just like the people of Jerusalem was waiting there, inviting him in. The same Jesus is waiting today for people to invite him in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears his voice and opens the door, I'll come in and I'll sup with him. He's just waiting. The same Jesus is waiting for that same welcome to come in. See, he truly is the Prince of Peace. He's the King of Peace. We all want peace. Well, he wants to bring peace into every part of your life. He wants to bring peace to your spirit, your soul, your body, your situation, your circumstance. He's the King. He's your peace. He's my peace. I need peace every day. Anybody else?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
His peace.
Absolutely. So in closing, do you have peace in your life? Don't leave here today without his peace. It could be peace, spiritual peace. It could be turmoil in your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. It could be in your body. It could be in your finances. It could be in relationships. So many different areas that God wants to bring peace. He's our comfort in a time of storm. He's our peace in times of uncertainty. He's our peace. And he's here today. If you need that kind of peace, I invite you to come. Just take a few minutes. Just get alone with this King of Peace. And just let him minister to you today. And as I pray, here's what I want you to do. I want you to give him a wave offering. I want you to just begin to wave before God. Just acknowledge that he's here. Just acknowledge. Father, come humble before you, God. God, we so desperately need you. Jesus, we need you. Every minute of every day. We just give you this wave offering, Lord. You are our peace. You are our righteousness. You are everything, God. God, we honor you today. We give you all glory, all praise, Lord God. God, you are awesome. You are mighty. You are glorious, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For being that sacrificial lamb. For giving yourself as a sacrifice for the whole world. We thank you. We praise you, Jesus. So good. So awesome. So mighty, Lord God. God, you are beyond our imagination, Father. Oh, Lord. Wonderful. Counselor. Prince of Peace. The Almighty God, the Everlasting Father. Hallelujah, Jesus.